tell you why I ask people. No one coheres. You don't have to say anything. But what God does, and when we share, it's a prophecy of something that can happen again. So when we hear the testimony of someone's mind being released, or God all over somebody, or addictions being broken, or depression lifted, that's God saying, what I've done there, I'll do it again. And it gives us hope, doesn't it? That we that didn't experience it maybe, or we that didn't comprehend what was going on, but someone puts it into words, well then all of a sudden it's like, yeah, that's where I felt. And like, we don't want church as just like to be normal, but we want heaven to come down, and the heaven's culture in our church, that will be normal. That like, not just coming and we end up being stuffed old Christians, God forbid, but that we are people who know God and have experienced God. And I was praying during the week, and we were on a series of power, talking about the power of God. And last week we talked about the roar from Revelation 5:5. It talks about Jesus being the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And Jesus went around this earth, not roaring in the sense like a lion, roar. But when he spoke to certain things, when he seen an injustice, when he's seeing people being put down, when he's seeing the religious of his day entrapping people in laws after laws after laws, that in fact wasn't bringing them near to God. The laws that the religious made up was bringing them far away from God. And every time Jesus seen some of this stuff, he spoke against it. He spoke against those who were oppressing kids and women. He seen men and women with demons in them. He seen and he roared with the authority of a lion. And we went on to say that God puts that same roar and authority in us, that we can speak to things. That's what he said. Now, this authority I have, I give to you. Now you go and you do the things that I have done. And that's why we do things like Stu Cruise and A21 with the women. We provide stuff for women coming out of sex slavery and the homeless and youth clubs and cafes and kids work and all of this stuff. We do this because there's a roar that God has put inside of us. Or at least there's a roar that he's put inside of me. And as a result, he's gathered us together, and that roar is in us together. And the more we venture out into this world with his roar inside of us, we will see great things. Because greater things have still to come. And it's not for someone coming over across the seas in the sense we're waiting on an army to come. We are the army. We are the. Dublin will be touched a better, different place. Families will be different because of you and me. This community, this city will be better because of you and me having that roar inside of us. And today I want to speak, and I know we've done loads of things, and God has been great and creative in the house, and he's got us out in the rain and back in, and we're a bit alive and awakened again, and all of that stuff. But I was kneeling here during the day, and the Lord says, I want to accelerate my work in people's lives. I want to accelerate. I want to put the switch on. And what I found, what he said to me was that this decision is not down to God. This decision is down to us. God says, I'll hold nothing back. I'll give you the best. I'll give you Jesus. And these are the scriptures he gave me. If you want to go to Judges chapter 6, some of them may be familiar stories. And I had so much to say about the background of this that I probably won't because of time. Lord, give us ears to hear. Give us ears to hear, Father. We only want to hear what comes from you, Father. We only want what comes from your voice. And I pray, Father, that everything of Noel would be muffled out and that your voice would be heard. And that creative things would happen in this place, just like when you spoke and created the universe. That new things would be created and released. In Jesus' name, amen. In chapter 6, we find a man called Gideon of Judges. Israel was in a state at this time. They had turned away from God. God says, if you turn away from me, follow worthless idols, there's consequences. And some people say, why did God do this and why did God do that? And God already told them what were some of those consequences of following worthless idols. That's what he says. And the people of Israel went after things that didn't satisfy them and only brought them into dangerous stuff. So it says in chapter 6, again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive. Listen to these words. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. When Joshua, this was after Joshua, when Joshua brought them into the promised land, what were they doing? They were taking cities. They were taking towns. They were taking on armies. Now, these years later, they're hiding in caves, clefts of rocks, and building shelters in secret and hiding places. How incredibly, what a contrast to go from that all-conquering army. We just done Joshua Nun's son a while ago. You know what he accomplished. And he went from that of taking land to this of hiding away like rats in a desert. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, another group of people, and other eastern people invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined all of their crops, all the way to Gaza, and did not spare a living thing, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midians so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. Do you hear those words? He ravaged, crushed, trampled all of their livestock. He killed all of their plants. That Midian and his army crushed everything of God's people. And one day they cried out to God. And you're so grateful that when you cry out to God, he inclines his ear towards us. Isn't it amazing? And their book is also incredible how they got from Joshua to Judges. And this incredible plight was brought upon themselves. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said this. This is what the Lord says, the God of Israel. He says, I brought you out of Egypt. He says, I brought you into a new land. I gave you all of this. And because you turned your back on me and worshipped other gods, I told you that this would happen. I told you that this would come on. But you did not listen to me. That's why I ask that God would give us ears to hear. Because sometimes we hear, but we don't listen. Is that right? Or sometimes we listen, but don't hear. We hear the words, and we hear the words, and year in, year out, you'll hear me saying the same things in so many different ways. But we hear and hear and hear, and we listen and listen and listen, and we don't hear. And the only way to hear what God is saying is that he gives us spiritual ears, as well as these ears. And he says, I told you this would happen, but this, you didn't listen. And God sent the prophet. And the prophet told him what was coming. So the God prepared the people. This is why it happened. And then there was a man called Gideon. And it says in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash, whose son Gideon was threshing wheat in the wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. What a way to be greeted. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why is all these things happening to us? Where's all the wonders our fathers told us about? Did the Lord not say he'd bring us out of Egypt, but now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of the Midians, into Midian? The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Is it not I that am sending you? But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? My family, my clan is the weakest, and I'm the weakest of the family. But the Lord says to him, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites together. Gideon replied, if I found favor in your eyes, Give me a sign that it's really you talking to me. Please do not go away until I come back. He went away and he got an animal to sacrifice to God. He brought back flour and a pot of stew. And he put them down before God. And when he put them down before God, the angel of the Lord said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread, place them on the ground, on the stone. And he did. And when he done that, the angel got the tip of the staff that he was carrying that was in his hand. And the angel of the Lord touched the meat and fire came from heaven and consumed the whole meat. Whoa, Midian had impoverished them. They were so desperate. And God says, I want to do something. And he sent this prophet. And he says, the prophet says, this is what I want to do. And this is why this has happened. And the prophet was releasing the future into the now. The prophet was calling what heaven was saying, and he was dragging it into the now. It wasn't a victory in the future, it was a victory in the now. And that's why prophecy is so important in the scriptures. That's why Paul says, that's why I want you all to speak words of prophecy. That's what Paul says. God's heart is that every one of you guys and me would prophesy the word of God. Means we hear from heaven and we say it out on earth. And as we hear from heaven and say it out on earth, things are created. But when he goes to Gideon, I wish I had more time to explain all of this stuff. But we have more time, like next week. For everything that God said to Gideon, he disqualified himself. Everything. And here's what I felt the Lord saying. Don't disqualify yourself for what he qualified you for. Don't disqualify yourself for what he qualified you for. And a mentality of disqualification holds you back for years and years. And I believe that God wants to accelerate what he's doing. And I believe he wants to accelerate. That every time he said something to Gideon, Gideon says, but me family, we're mad. Oh, we're the weakest in the clan. We're the ones that everyone else looked down on. We're the ones that everyone goes, oh, that's Joash's kids. He says, and I'm the weakest of them. And all of his personal stuff. He was like, but Lord, I'm weak, I'm weak, I'm weak. And you notice when you read it, the Lord didn't even answer him. The Lord says, he said all this and he says, go on the strength that I'm giving you. It's like the Lord ignored him. Because the Lord is not hung up on the things that you and I are hung up on. That doesn't hold God back, it holds us back. And the decision that I want us to make today, again, when I get to my end, is that you and I will make a decision. I'm not going to disqualify myself anymore. I'm not going to use the old excuses. But Lord, I'm on my own. I'm single. I'm young. I'm old. I'm new. I'm not going to disqualify myself because someone told me this is right or this is wrong. I'm going to qualify myself because you've made me right because of what you've done on the cross. I'm not going to say, well, look, Lord, I'll put one foot in and one foot out. I'm not going to use that as an excuse. I'm not going to use, I don't know how to read or write. I'm not going to use, I'm not baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. I'm not going to use, I'm on this, I'm on that. I'm not going to use anything. Lord, if you said I'm qualified, I want to make a decision that you qualified me and that will be my starting point. That I'll start from your qualification of who I am and what I'm supposed to do in my world. Instead of starting from 20 paces behind saying, this was in my life. I got hurt here. I was in prison. My wife's a nutcase. My husband's a nutcase. Or he's a Christian and I'm not a Christian. Or well, all of the things that we use, we're just like Gideon. I'll make my money first. Another excuse. I wait till I get qualified. And all the time we're starting from there. Instead of starting from where Jesus, his starting point was. And Gideon was basically saying, no, not me. No, not me. Use everyone else. And your and my excuses can be the door to which we exit the purposes of God for our lives. The excuses that we use can be the doorway that we exit the purposes of God for our lives. I'm telling you, there's so many. I'm fearful. Aren't we all? Don't we all start out someplace like that? But in 50 years' time, if you're only 20 or 30, are you going to look back and go, that was an excuse. I'd rather have that fear. And that was my exit out of actually doing all I could and giving all I could for God. It's not condemnation, guys. I'm going to liberate you. And God wants to speed it up. God wants to break in quicker. God wants to like put us in a microwave, and what could be done in 20 minutes, we can have it in 3 minutes. And I says to the Lord, if it took 21 years to raise this man up, when you raise these guys up in 3 years, when you raise people up at such a rate, Lord, that maturity is not about years. That's not what maturity is about. I remember when I became a Christian, and I met a guy who was 5 years a Christian, and I says, you must really know Jesus. He says, don't let years fool you. I knew exactly what he was saying. There's people that are 20 years Christians and are still saying, no, not me. And I'm saying, why not me? I want you to say, why not me? I want you to say to him, no more excuses, because that can't be. And here's what God said to him. He said, in the end, when he got his attention, and God used Gideon mightily, but it was a mentality, and it's a mentality that needs to be broken. And that's when God said, Shalom. He said, Shalom. And Gideon built an altar, and he called it the altar of Shalom, the altar of peace. God's peace came. God's peace came and lived in him and dwelled in him, and he moved and operated. And he done an incredible exploit. So one mindset is, Lord, not me. If you turn to Isaiah chapter 6, if Gideon disqualified himself from all of his excuses, well, Isaiah somehow knew qualification instantly. Isaiah, it says in chapter 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. Listen to these words. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on his throne. Lord, give us a glimpse into heaven. High and exalted. And the train of his robe, just the train of his robe, filled the temple. I was like saying to the Lord, what does that look like? Just the train of his robe filled the whole temple. And when he came, above him were angels called seraphites. And they had all these wings, and they had all these faces and feet, and they were crying, flying around, crying out to one another, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, and the whole earth is full of his glory. That the angels, when they seen the King of the universe, they called out to one another, look how magnificent he is, look how holy and magnificent he is. And then this is Isaiah seeing this, and then he goes, woe is me, I cried, I'm ruined, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people who has unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the Lord God Almighty. And he wasn't disqualifying himself by saying, woe is me. But when you see a holy God, I want to tell you, everything that is not right in you shows up. Like similarly, when the sun shines on the windshield of a car or the windscreen, and you think your windows at home is clean. Let's put it this way. You think the windows at home is clean, and the sun shines in, and a manky. Do you know, like that's when Sharon always says, you have to clean the windows, or... Like, no, they're all right, and then the sun shines in. Well, this is what Isaiah, when he's seen the magnificence of God's presence, it's like when the light shone, all of his stuff, and he couldn't help but go, my goodness, I'm unclean. But it wasn't a disqualification, it was an expression more from what he's seen of God than what a disqualification. So he's there, and he's sitting there, and he's experiencing this, and then one of this, he says, Lord, I am unclean. And it says, one of the angels came, flew towards me with coal, live coal in his hands, fire coal in his hands. And he touched Isaiah's lips. And he said to him, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin is atoned for. So the angel, when he says, Lord, I'm a sinner. Like we've all said, and that's how you become a Christian. You acknowledge that you got it wrong. You acknowledge that he died on the cross for what you got wrong, and that he took the penalty for what you did. And when you do that, he comes and he releases heaven inside of you. And Isaiah goes, wow, I'm a sinner. The angel goes, I have a remedy for that. And he gets holy fire. And he comes and he touches his lips. And he says, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt and your sin is taken away. Your sin and your guilt is taken away. Your sin and your guilt is taken away. Your sin and your guilt has been nailed to a cross. Stop living in it. Stop living with your guilty mind. Take control of your guilty mind. Tell your guilty mind that you've been touched by the blood of Jesus. He atoned, paid the price for our sin and our guilt. Stop living with your guilt that is disqualifying you from the things that God has for you. Tell it when it comes. I'm not living there. I'm forgiven. I am forgiven. Don't go to bed with it tonight and let it comfort you again. Don't let it disqualify you on your pillow tonight. Or poor you. Look at it. You're right. You're a dirty, no good. There's angels flying around saying, son, you don't get it. Honey, you don't get it. God sent his son for you. Angels stood in wonder. They didn't know why the Son of Man came. They couldn't comprehend it. And then when they comprehended, when he said it's finished and men come back to God and women come back to God, the angels go, I get it. That's why he went to bring the sons and the daughters back home to the Father. And then when we're living in our guilt and our sin that he's already set us free from, the angels are like, do you not get it? They put their six wings over their heads and go. Well, at least the seraphites do. And you notice with Gideon, he called the angels sir. Isaiah seen these incredible heavenly beings. And Isaiah sees someone that was like you and me. Sir. He didn't know it was an angel till the angel went. And then he'd done a freak. Or, oh my goodness, I've seen an angel of God and I was being disrespectful. So you don't know who's going to walk into your world. And he mightn't have six wings and six eyes and six sets of feet. But it might be an angel that God releases to bring strength and do the bidding of heaven. So watch who you're sitting beside. Watch who you meet this week. Watch who has something to say to you this week. Watch who asks you for something this week. Make sure you give it. If you have it. Because it could be just an angel. So he's after being touched by God. He's after seeing heaven. I just want to see heaven like that to you. The coal came and touched his lips. And listen what happens. He hears God talking. He hears the Trinity talking. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and angels listening in. He says, after the angel came and touched my lips, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And whom will go for us? So he hears heaven saying, having a discussion. It's like heaven lets him listen in, lets him see and lets him listen. And the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit talking and they go, look, who will we send? Who will go for us? And instead of him making all these excuses, he goes, here I am, send me. He didn't make any disqualification voice. He didn't have any dissension inside of him. Why? Because God had touched him with holy fire. He didn't say, oh, look, I'll do this next week, next month. I'll get around to when I get around to it. I will do it then. I will do it when I have my home, when I have a house, when I have another car, when I have another job. He didn't say any of the excuses that are good or bad or indifferent. He says, here I am, send me. Here I am. Now, we have a choice to make. And if Gideon. If his excuses were the exit to the purposes of God, Isaiah's declaration was an entrance into the purposes of God. Are you with me? If his was an exit, well then Isaiah's had to be an entrance. Or if excuses can be an exit, well then his, oh, here I am, send me, is an entrance. And if you read what Isaiah has seen and prophesied, he prophesied in details the coming of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. He prophesied the death of Jesus, the resurrection of Jesus. He says, here I am, send me. Heaven downloads all of the future spoken out of this man's mouth. Why? Because he let God touch him. He acknowledged that his sins and his guilt was atoned for, paid for. You don't have to pay it unless you're paying it by choice. You don't, or I don't, have to pay it unless it's by choice, because it's already being paid for. Do you ever go for a meal anywhere and you go to pay and somebody says, they already paid? No, neither did I. But it's always a nice thought, isn't it? No, I have. I had a guest speaker over two years ago, Gary Clark from Hillsong London, and they were my air guests as Liberty. And we went, brought them for a meal into Temple Bar, and we're sitting there. And like, these are air guests, as air church spoke into leadership in the city. And I brings them into Temple Bar, brings them to Gallagher's Boxy House, and treating them to this stuff. And one of his cohorts, one of his younger men that were with him, gets up. I think he's going to the toilet because it was in the middle of our meal and whatever. I goes up, goes over to the lady, and he says, no, they already took care of it. It's like, what? They already took care of it. We can carry our guilt and our sin around, or we can acknowledge what the cross has done. And the Father will say, I already took care of it. That's good. I already took care of it. No, Lord, I'm going to pay penance. No, I already took care of it. No, Lord, I'm going to do a million good things now to make up for that. No, I already took care of that. You don't have to pay anything. Lord, I need to beat myself up because of my sin and guilt. I already took care of that. I beat him up for you. Jesus. Lord, surely I deserve your wrath. No, he already took your wrath. Lord, surely I need to pay the wages of sin because the wages of sin... surely I have to pay debt because the wages of sin is debt. Surely... No. He already took the wages for you. He already took debt. He sorted debt out so that you may have life. And the acceleration of God... And I'm not saying this, guys, to just to... This is not a sermon. This is a word of God. I'm not saying it to say, yeah, just make a response today. I'm asking you to think about it. I'm asking you to contemplate. I might only take a couple of minutes to do that. But in your hearts of hearts, because when you say, here I am, send me, you know what? He does send you. So there's a cost. There's a price when you say, here I am. The boy of Jesus said, count the cost before you build the house. So don't go halfway through and go, oh, good night, I've no money for the roof. He wants, and he is calling. And some of the price might be to say bye-bye to disqualification thinking. And for some of us, that'll be a journey. For some of us, that will mean standing against, when you go home, the thinking that comes back. Some will be tomorrow when someone says, oh, that's just old Gideon, the least in the family. And you have to stand and say no. And guys, and I'm not saying this out of some theory. I'm saying this because it's taken 21 years to get me in the vicinity of what I'm saying. And I know where I've had to come against in my own life, and I know where I still have to stand against in my own life. I know where I'm journeying through my own life to see this release, to see you release, to see the city touch. So I'm not just saying it out of, it's not just a nice sermon. And when those say I do, and don't just say I do for this reason. Those say, here I am, send me. I believe God wants to accelerate his work. Now that might be enough for you to go, I don't care about anything else. I just want to get up to say, yeah, accelerate your work. But guys, it's deeper than that. I just want to tell you that it's deeper than that. There's a community, and there's a city, and there's individuals on the other side of here I am, send me. So if it's just about you getting healed and getting your head sorted out, you know, that's one thing. But it's deeper than that, if you hear me. Do you hear me? So let's pray. It's the stuff that liberates, and it's the stuff that releases heaven into lives, into your life, and into the lives of others. It's the stuff that causes heaven to splash out onto earth. Hosea brought, and Gideon, don't get me wrong, what I'm saying about Gideon is, it took a lot longer with Gideon than it did Hosea. And I want us to be Hosea's this morning. I want us to be that type. And we'll work anything, but I want you to be that type. So, Father, you said, Lord, that you would accelerate your work. I release that into this church. I release it into this church. I release it into individuals. I release it into lives. I release it into families. I release it into the communities. I release it into the city. I release it into job places. I release it into school places. I release it, Lord God. I release it, Lord. The acceleration of the work of God. That what took 3 years to walk through, let it be 3 weeks, Lord. What took 3 years to get a breakthrough in, I release 3 weeks, 3 months, Lord. What taken many of us 10 years to get over of brokenness in our lives, I release 3 years, Lord. 3 months, 3 days, 3 weeks stuff, Lord. What takes fasting and praying for months to see the release of healing, Lord, I release the acceleration of signs and wonders. What takes us years to cop onto, Lord, I release it into the now, Lord. And because this is beyond just what's for now, I'm meaning like our pains and our hurts, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they don't count, but I'm saying this is for future as well. So don't let that be our driving factor, right? That's all I'm saying. But let it be, I hear heaven somehow calling right now. And I'm responding to what I heard from God, not from the needs I have right now. Does that make sense? Am I just tell me, someone nod. Don't respond from your immediate need, but respond from what's in your future. The shalom of God. Amen. God, here I am, send me. Or here I am making excuses. So if it's here I am, send me, you can stand before God or something. You can come up to the front. If it's here I am. And it's all right to ponder over it. It's all right to walk gingerly into it. It's all right. But if your heart's cry, if your heart's roar is, here I am, send me. Stand up, come to the front. Somehow as an act of presenting yourself before God. And I tell you what happened with Isaiah. You know Ezekiel? Or what's that man's name? Gideon. When he brought his sacrifice, right? The angel touched the me. He touched the me, and the me was touched with fire from heaven. But when Isaiah stood before God, the fire touched him. Not a sacrifice that was on the ground, but the living sacrifice that stood before God and says, here I am. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. And that's who the fire touched. And I'm like, my goodness, there's a huge difference of saying, Lord, here's my piano, use me piano. And God says, yeah, I'll touch your piano with fire. And there's a huge difference of saying, here's my life, use this. And he goes, I will touch your life with fire. Fire of God. Consuming fire. Fire that liberates. Fire that sets us free to be all who are meant to be. Fire that causes us to speak the very things of heaven. To prophesy heaven's voice onto this earth. Here I am, send me, Lord. Here I am, send us. Here's me and my wife. Here's me and my future wife. Here's me and my fellow, whatever. Here's me and my husband. You're not two, you're one. You're not separated, you're entwined. If that's for you, you need to stand before God.